This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Let's talk about 5G. It promises a lot, yet we don't truly know what these promises are. Okay, yes, faster internet, but so what? Today's best internet connection is already pretty good, and of course, faster internet is always welcomed. But why the fuss on 5G? Will it truly change the world? To make sense of what 5G can do for you and your business is Danny Wong. He's the Senior Director for Telecoms in Asia for Vertiv. Danny, perhaps a brief introduction about yourself and what you do.
Hi, good morning. I'm Danny. I'm the Senior Director for the Telecoms vertical for Vertiv in Asia. Practically, my job is to go out to the markets and help telecom industries and our customer base to actually build their infrastructure to support their networks, to support their businesses. Mm-hmm. So we identify what are the pain points. We practically work with the teams of solutions and leverage certain technologies that we have in-house or develop with the entire ecosystem to actually help our customers to, from the build-up perspective, from re-architecture perspective, or to optimization or some of the critical infrastructures in which they are having.
All right. Yeah. All right. And tell me a little bit about Vertiv as a company itself. What kind of presence do you have here in Malaysia, and what exactly is the role that you play?
Yeah. Vertiv in Malaysia used to call Emerson Network Power. It has been established in Malaysia for 30 over years. In a couple of years' time, it's coming to 35 years for the Malaysia business unit itself. So in the Malaysia business unit, practically, we are serving a wide area of industries. We're serving the telecoms operators. We are serving the data center communities. We're also serving enterprises. We're serving the industry, oil and gas, as well as banking and finance, and so on and so forth. So what we provide to the markets is that we provide hardware and software and services solutions for them to provide optimum environments and atmosphere for some of their equipment to be working in a controlled environment. Mm-hmm. So that include networking equipment, that include servers, that include computing equipment, storage, monitoring equipment, and so on and so forth. Yeah. So practically, we provide the pre-sales and post-sales services to the Malaysia context.
Mm. So it's helping companies, any kind of companies, basically building the backbone of what they need in today's world, right?
Yes.
So with that though, let's look back at the previous decade. How would you define, the decade that we, just had before? What do you think was the major shifts that you've seen in the previous decade that you feel this is, now stepping into the new decade, this is even more important?
Yeah. Overall, on the last decade, actually a lot of things changed. I still remember I joined Emerson's about 11 years ago. That's roughly about 11 decades. So the biggest change that there are a lot of changes, but the biggest change to me is practically the mobile broadband piece. 10, 11 years ago, BlackBerry was something very common. A lot of us have been given BlackBerries. A lot of enterprises are using that as a mean of email communications. But throughout the years that we look at it as 2020 now, what we are seeing is that BlackBerry has gone. It's a jargon to a new millennium. From the BlackBerry all the way until today, you look at us, we have been using a lot more mobile data as much as we can. We start to do things differently. There are big lifestyle changes for basic consumer. There are changes towards the organizations in which things are done. People are logging in remotely, not only just for email, but they are doing a lot of things on their mobile phone that never thought before. They are doing analysis on their mobile phone. They can send reports, they can clock attendance. And this morning, I listened to your one of the sessions. We are paying money, we are doing e-wallets onto a mobile phone, we are buying stuff onto a mobile phone. So from the operation perspective, from the company perspective, and from the consumer perspective, this one of the biggest changes that we are seeing is from a basic internet connectivities all the way to more applications utilizing the mobile broadband. So I summarize it as the mobile broadband. We also see the At the last 5 years, we are also seeing a lot more IoT being brought up into the perspective. This is something really interesting, because in the IoT is not something new. In fact, IoT, if you want to trace back, it could be 10, 20, 30 years ago. It depends which perspective we are looking at. But over the last 5 years, we've seen a lot more IoT being adopted into governments, into industries, into different segments of the markets. So we are going to see this as a intensify over the next few years as well. Mm-hmm. The same like mobile broadband, we are going to see a different shift towards the next few years when the entire industries and the full ecosystem comes into the pictures. Mm.
Yeah. You know, yeah, 2010, you know, BlackBerry was known as, you know, one of the leading smartphone yes. manufacturers, right? Yes. But then in 2020, you know, BlackBerry's just become a fruit all over again.
Absolutely.
So, and the trends that you mentioned, right, whether it's the mobile infrastructure, yep. whether it's IoT itself, and if you look at any kinds of trends, they all have, you know, they rely on one and another to actually, you know, boom, right? So what's your predictions for this new decade as we are, you know, now into the year 2020, what do you see will accelerate even further based on the, I guess, the backbone that we've built in the previous decade?
I think from the next decade, there are a lot more things going to change from the enterprise perspective and also the consumer. From enterprise perspective, nowadays, especially for the industry that we are serving, we start to see a lot more cloud-based services. Now, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, when we start talking to our customers, cloud-based is something that they are not too comfortable. Yes, some of them might use cloud-based services. They still prefer a lot of things to be hosted and managed and operated by themselves. Mm. But nowadays, a lot of these services are moving to the cloud, right? Be it a public cloud or be it a private cloud, and be it how they practically host it. So when I say the cloud, it's just not only the storage, but also the computing part to a certain extent. This is one big changes onto the organizations, to a lot of organizations. And I think this part of the changes will go in more intensified mode in the next decade, because one of the key things that is driving the organizations, enterprises, be it government or individual large organization or SME perspective, applications-wise, from the services availability perspective, this is going to give a big boost to the productivity, to the efficiency of how we run business. We no longer need to outsource the payroll. We still outsource the payroll, but we no longer need to outsource the way we are outsourcing to individual companies, and we can't check anything back. So we practically, there are a lot more applications that we could tap into from the supply chain perspective, from transportation perspective, from billing perspective, and also from HR perspective. A lot of information can be collocated actually on the cloud side. And a lot of company, innovative company, are bringing all these services together, looking to the pinpoint of their enterprises, small SME, because hosting IT peoples and building IT infrastructure is not their dominant role.
Yeah.
It's just a supporting role. So they feel that nowadays it's actually better to leverage what system do you have that could help them out there, that could really help them on a business.
Mm.
On the consumer perspective, we are actually going to see a lot more usage of, I wouldn't call, maybe today's we look at it as hype or something very funky. But in the near futures, one of the biggest predictions ever made, and I see this prediction coming closer and closer, is the glass, the AR glasses. So this is not new. This has been a couple of years back, and when people start to put those things onto, everyone is wearing glasses and you practically can see everything from your glasses. You do not need to pick up your phones and all those kind of things. This has been touted as one of the potential replacement of mobile handphone. So it will be a surprise to many people, because nowadays, none of us can live without our handphone. I can leave behind my wallet, but not my handphone, not my mobile, not my tablets and things like that. But I think from the consumer perspective, we will be connected more to the digital world via the devices that we have. You know, not only limited to the glasses, the phone, or be it a wearable. Anything that actually changed our lifestyle is from the payment perspective, from how we check things to, from how we do our daily routines, from buying things, from picking up, from looking at which route is the best to go to the workplace, from checking the salary, from transaction, from everything else, actually is in a very well-connected world.
I'm speaking to Danny Wong, the Senior Director for Telecoms in Asia for Vertiv, talking about 5G and its promises. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Breakfast for Masters. BFM 89.9.
You're back with me, Jeff Sandhu, and I'm talking to Danny Wong, the Senior Director for Telecoms in Asia for Vertiv, talking about the promises of 5G and what is truly a reality and what is fiction. Danny, let's get real about 5G. We're in the year 2020 and it feels like we're inching closer to the realities of having 5G speeds. But where are we in terms of the deployments of 5G?
Okay, so to share with you my perspective on 5G, maybe a short relook at what happened. I start working in the telecom industry when we are, as a vendor, when we are starts to sell 2G equipments. I don't recall what is the naming convention for 1G, but when we look at from 2G, start selling 2Gs and 3Gs and progressively 4G, which also have another name, acronym called Long-Term Evolution, LTE. You may see it on your phone or some of the advertisement by some of the operators here. What drastically difference from 2G, 3G, 4G until now when we talk about 5G is, I give you one example. 5G is not officially launched in many countries yet, especially in Malaysia and Singapore. They will be launching this year. Thailand might be launching this year, but it's still not widely available from service perspective, from infrastructure perspective, be it consumer or be it on the commercial piece. But the buzzword for 5G is so phenomenal that if you go to Google and you go to any search engine to search about 5G, actually there are more entries than you can ever find on 4G. Now, the reason why I brought this up is because of, from my perspective, is 5G is actually a more promising technology than many people has hoped for. So in the perspective that we always think that there's a theory called Amara theory, is that human being, we always expect a lot more on the futures. So we have a big expectation. So in other words, we created a lot of hypes, a lot of technologies, features and everything else in the future. But one of the things is always, most of the time, the hype doesn't come true that much or that fast. But one of the things that about 5G that could tie to Amara theory is that I personally believe that we sometimes overlook, while we expect a lot, but we underestimate the impact of technologies. We always underestimate the impact. We do expect the technology to come, but I underestimate the impact. The impact of 5G is going to be so phenomenal. Because I was from this industry, I'm still in this industry. When you look at some of the demarcation between 4G and 5G, people say, oh, just a faster speed. I don't need anything faster. My mobile is fast enough. My home network is fast enough. What other thing do you need to be faster? I can stream 4K TV now. Even on my phone and at home, I can do a lot more. What are the commercial applications that is so desperate need of 5G in terms of bandwidth, in terms of other things? No, there is a big changes on 5G. So one of the key things about 5G readiness in the country is that I will answer a bit why Malaysia government, in my personal belief, that why they are pushing so hard. 5G actually create a lot more opportunities. Number one, 5G is not only for enhanced broadband experience, that we can actually do a lot more things. 10 years ago, I wouldn't be calling you on a video call. Either I'm not afford to pay those video call or there's not many platform available that can be used. Or 5 years ago, even a video call is, we prefer something that we not to have just on a voice call because sometimes I can see you, sometimes I can't see you. So it also disturb the voice call. Mm. But nowadays, video call is very common. It's so reliable. It's so clear. Holographic call would be something interesting. And multi-party conferencing call without using expensive gadgets is something that would be more commonly adopted. So when we pull back all these kind of things is that the other perspective of 5G that is in nature that really helped the industry, helped to solve a lot of social problems, helped to improve the company From productivity and efficiency perspective, one of the big things I didn't mention just now was the boost and the boom of IoT. So we expect this IoT to be more impactful when it becomes more intelligent. In order for it to become more intelligent, we need a lot more processing power. We need a lot more data. So it's a combination of data intensive, it's a combination of the latency piece that we really need to enhance a lot of these activities. So when we have the whole platform and the infrastructure ready, it actually pushes a lot of creativity into the picture that really you can't imagine by solving it or having a right experience to use those under 4G. So you won't be there. So 4G perspective is, 4G will still stay there for long. 5G is not going to stand alone as for the next 3 to 5 years. It has to go because the investment is high. So from the Malaysia perspective, I'm glad that over the last 1 week, we saw a lot more activities. And from the spectrum awarding perspective, from the collaboration perspective, and also from the numbers of innovations that being trial out, demo, or proof of concept regionally. So this is very promising because in my opinion is that in the past, when we talk about trial or 4G or 3G, it's mainly testing the signal, testing the protocol. Layman people who are not in the industry may not understand what is a 4G trial is about. It's tests about handover, whether you drop calls or not, the connectivity, the bandwidth test, and all this kind of thing. But for 5G context, a lot of tests have been on the applications, on the services that can be enabled better by the 5G. So I personally feel very positive, and I've also seen a lot more movement from the industry, from tower companies to telecom operators, and from innovators who bring out a lot of innovative solutions, especially also from the government perspective. It needs a holistic collaborations and work together to really make it possible. So if the information fit is right, I believe that the 5G would appear in Malaysia much earlier than 2023, right, at least from the commercial perspective.
So you're very optimistic about our readiness with 5G, despite the challenges that it has as well, because you've mentioned it requires collaboration with so many different industry partners.
So many, yeah.
But also, the cost of building these infrastructures can be very expensive at the beginning as well. And also the understanding of, some businesses will have to change the way they run their business. So there are a lot of layers of challenges involved, but yet you're very optimistic about our readiness?
Yeah, I'm very optimistic because especially for Malaysia, there are challenges. There are definitely a lot of challenges like what you mentioned earlier on. In fact, from the network deployment perspective, there are even more challenges than we've seen in 4G. Just to give you examples, a base station or a big tower that you see on the roadside, that normally for 4G, you can build it just for coverage perspective, not for capacity perspective. You can build a square meters of 5 to 8 kilometers square just for the basic coverage. Of course, the further you go, you have a drop in bandwidth and all those sort of things. But for 5G to be working, well, that's mainly serve maybe 1.5 or max 2 kilometer radius. So in other words, there are a lot more densifications of transmission equipment.
That's on the millimeter wave 5G,
yes,
right?
Yes. That easier to set, build more, pay for more, build more. But look at some of the constraints we have with local councils. You can't get a piece of place to host those things. Community with complaints about the interference. There are a lot more challenges. But what I have seen over the past 1 year and past 1.5 years, we see a lot of industry players practically sitting together, looking at a common models that in which they can, first of all, everyone realize the challenges. That is important. Secondly, I've seen that a lot of them actually put up efforts, and we have been engaged by many of the customers to look at the optimized way, a proper ways of supporting their network build up. So there are a lot more infrastructure to be built out for sure. But given the effort, especially the chip in by the government, driven by the government, and also to manage to bring in a lot more ecosystem vendors together, the 5G councils in Malaysia, a lot more stakeholders are involved. I believe this problem, some of these challenges can be solved. Because as the whole industry are learning towards how to solve this problem in a better way, but it's a journey towards that. There's no predefined way, and this is from A to B, you have to do this, that you solve your problem. No. Mm. I think as a whole, the industry is learning. What I've seen most impressed is that at least in Malaysia, we really have the visions to actually... I was really shocked when I read that news, but it was really good because we have the vision to become number one in Asia. We want to be the top 10 in the world. Now, of course, you won't turn around and next year we become top 10 or whatever, but given that commitment by the stakeholder, given that commitment by the whole entire infrastructure, and given that the discussion we have with various ecosystem partners and customers, we see positive out of the entire 5G deployments in Malaysia. Mm. When the infrastructures are there, as I mentioned earlier, the services are a lot being tested. Even the good thing is the government and also private sector also chipping in for some of these services, because maybe a small company with a great idea couldn't have that much of money just to chip in to monetize the services on day one. So they need fund, they need support to do that. Then this is a good ecosystem so that it actually... ensuring the infrastructure developing at the same time the services are developing, and they're learning from each other to tune the infrastructures, and the services will tune along the line so that we could have something that really usable for the Malaysia community, be it the business or the personal.
Now, you know, as this journey towards 5G becoming a reality, you know, every other single nation is also on this journey. And like you said, you know, there's no defined way of how do we get there, right? Yeah. So there's a lot of trials with all kinds of industry players. Now, from a business perspective, if I'm a business owner, whether it's manufacturing or agriculture, whether it's in healthcare, or even just, you know, the smaller retail businesses that would have an impact when 5G does arrive, how can they play a role in investments as well? Because, you know, sometimes, you know, the financial constraints may be a bit too much for them to play around with, you know, what 5G can be done in their businesses. How would they go about in being future-proof ready, but also, you know, ensuring that their business with current evolutions, with whether it's 4G, LTE, you know, whether the investments are made wisely, how can they play a part in achieving this goal in yet still trying to be, you know, sustainable for their own business?
Yeah. I have a small belief. I believe that in today's world, business is to transform, and there are a lot of those has to do with digital transformations. We were fortunate to be visiting a lot of our customers and working with a lot of our customers. And to my amaze, actually, we've seen a lot of deployment and technologies in the enterprise sectors, be it factories, the government. And in every of these sectors, there are fundamental challenges, right? That the normal people like you and me might not be able to aware of. Mm. From a water treatment plant, for fish farm, from agricultural farm, actually there are a lot of wastage, there are a lot of inefficiency, they're also having a lot of different kind of challenges. So to from a factory perspective, you know, how do you build better infrastructures? And what one of the discussions we always have, you know, how to make your factory smart, you know? Yeah. So does it to what level the definition of smart? And smart cities is a big topic, and I believe that smart city will be the first, if not the second, the beneficiary of the 5G deployment that we are having. So I strongly urge that enterprises, businesses are really looking into the technologies itself and looking what 5G itself will not solve the problem, but what are the enabling technologies, enable services that actually leverage on the 5G can actually solve a lot more challenges. I just run through there are a lot of examples as we speak, a lot of amazing examples, but I just run through a couple of those just to give a feel to everyone. We have been working with fish farm. Fish farm, for example, we thought fish farm is just feeding the fish, you know, monitoring the health of the fish, you know. Well, get the fish up, you know, sell them off when they are growing to a certain size and what. But fish farm actually spend a lot of their cost in feeding their fish. And on one hand, if you are open sea, you are not on a lake, you are on an open sea, you want to preserve the cleanliness of the sea. You don't want to contaminate. So they are looking into a lot of ways. How do I optimize? How do I feed the fish when they are really hungry? How do I ensure that once I feed them, they finish all the food? They are not the food, you know, digested into the seawaters and contaminating the seawater. So challenges like this actually are being able to be optimized and improve productivity or reduce wastage when they have a lot of computing, and as enterprises need to develop their own, either or they outsource the development of the methodology to detection. So there are a lot of things that the temperatures, the humidities, the environments, the fish, the colors, and everything have been on the intensive scannings and processing, and all those things actually give them a lot of quick decision making. So the same goes to the farm, the same goes to the cow farm, the same goes to the agricultures, and we see a lot more of those smart factory as well. So smart city as well. Of course, the smart city nowadays is not what we talked about 10 years ago. The smart nature is different. So how do we make sure that in a smart city perspective, when this emergency call, how do we control all the traffic light to ensure that ambulance or the fire engines or the police can reach the place in the shortest possible time? So a lot of things that actually goes into the perspective, and the residents, the consumers, and the businesses are all going to benefit from that. So we have to really look out for the technologies, and 5G will be one of the very enabling technologies that allows a lot of this to happen.
It's going to impact, I guess you would say, a lot of the areas within a business organization that previously has been, I guess, expensive to deal with, or just, you know, impossible to deal with. It's you know, it's great that we see 5G with the promise of faster speeds, better connection and all that, but it's actually the impact will happen in these pockets that we previously were blindsided by, and it's, you know, making things a lot more efficient. And once, like, you know, I guess when you mentioned, you know, the fish farm, for example, right, in being able to be more efficient in operating the business itself will actually provide a better customer end and business end journey. And I guess, you know, we all will benefit from this. And the beauty of all of this, of I guess every single businesses being more efficient is that in some ways it does help to protect the environment. And I guess, you know, 5G is one of those technology that has a promising future for the environmental challenge that we were also facing ahead.
Absolutely, right? Spot on.
All right. Danny, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Nice speaking to you.
And that was Danny Wong, the Senior Director for Telecoms in Asia for Vertiv, talking about the realities of 5G and what are these promises for your business. If you've missed any parts of the show, you can download the podcast now on bfm.my or the BFM app. You can also find us on Spotify. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and this has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.